You are listening to The After Chat with me, Pollyanna. 18 and older, please proceed and enjoy. Under 18, listen no further.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The After Chat this Thursday with Pollyanna. So excited, glad to be back with you again. If you tuned in to Tuesday's episode of Sexploration, you heard all about the Pure Love Promise, about my bad sex education in high school. We talked about Jason Everett, who was the speaker. He tours the country, all around the country, going to schools, affecting young minds with his abstinence is the only answer message. For me, it was also paired with scare tactics to make us afraid of sex and really encourage us and scare us into a fearful state of having to be pure, all the pressure associated with that. So inspired by that, I'll be doing a YouTube video coming out early next week, specifically talking about Jason Everett's arguments and my counter arguments to them, why this kind of sex education is dangerous, because I just want to get something out there with my perspective as a former student of the Pure Love Promise. You may have noticed in the news, I know I have, that the Pope is hosting a really historic thing. It's the first summit on sex abuse by the clergy. Apparently, according to the victims that have been interviewed, the Pope and the Pope himself, he's really in line with being a supporter and advocate to these victims. But the issue lies within the church management with the bishops. The bishops, I guess, are hiding predators and not really jumping on board with making sure that people that commit these kind of crimes within the church get prosecuted, that victims are protected. They just kind of move them around like they always have. There was this one movie, you know how I like those investigative reporter movies, that fantasy, because this reporting is not really like that anymore, or maybe it never was. There's this one movie that talks about that's really good. I'll leave it in the show details so you can check it out, the link to the IMDb page. I think it's called Spotlight, but it's these investigative journalists who uncover the Chicago Tribune that they work for, sex abuse scandal in the church and how it's been covered up for years and all these. It's a really great, great watch for sure. I'd highly recommend it. I think it was nominated for, it may have even won an Academy Award. Real good movie. So kind of with this whole theme, I'll do one more episode of Sexploration next week just to not make sure it's not overdone, right? I'll get sick of it too if we stick all church all the time. But we'll do one more kind of in the same theme. I'll announce it this weekend on social media. If you're not following me on Facebook, that's a great place to get all my little announcements, or Instagram, and links to those social media pages are on my website with pollyanna.com. So the theme is going to be having something to do with these religious institutions and the issues that sex subcultures face, or that we face in the realm of human sexuality due to their heavy influence in people's lives. So today we're going to start off, we're going to be going over a letter that I received via email. And this is from Fernando. And he is a man from a totally different perspective of than me. He kind of reminds me a little bit of my dad, to be honest. Just kind of his probably personality, the way that he approaches life. But he definitely differs in some key ways. So what I'm going to do is read the letter first. It was such a good one. He's a great guy. I got some follow-up messages from him that just really confirmed that. He's a good human. And I love that. I love having listeners who are not part of sex subculture, who are just listening to learn. And his desire to learn is definitely coming from a place of love. And really that would be, in any case, if anyone who listens to a podcast or something like this, or maybe reads a book or watches a movie about sex subcultures to which they do not belong and are not drawn to, that comes from a place of love within our humanity. Just caring about the human experience of others, wanting to understand, wanting to come from a place and approach people with understanding. That is a beautiful thing. That is a great gift that we can give each other, is to express, to humbly approach understanding and learning information out of love and out of respect for the human experience and the humanity in others. So here is the letter from Fernando. I'll be upfront with you. I only listen to your podcast because I'm trying to understand more of what I haven't a clue about. Not because I'm interested in participating in this lifestyle, but because I have a single daughter your age who is afraid to open up to me, and I want to be prepared educationally when she is ready to. Other podcasts that I have listened to previously, I simply could not take anymore. I don't care to hear about anyone's playtime experiences. They all say it's not about the sex, but 80% or more of their podcast is. You appear to be on a whole different kind of level, and I respect you and appreciate you tremendously for that. Before I go any further, I want you to know that if I say something that may be offensive in nature, know for sure that it will not be in malice. I'm a straight shooter, a no BS kind of guy. That being said, I do not have the vocabulary or speak as eloquently as you. I am a retired member of the armed forces and can be a little harsh in tone at times. I want to tell you a little bit about myself and present situation. Married 34 years to a lady for whom I am no longer in love with and haven't been intimate with in over 4 years now. Separate bedrooms always helps in that regard. My daughter and son are in their early 30s. She is possibly a lesbian, and he is diagnosed as bipolar. They are my family, and I love them more than they will ever know. Yes, I am your typical dad who doesn't communicate well with the people for whom he should be talking to most. I am to them contact number one, formerly known as DAD, standing by waiting to fix whatever is broken and ready to transfer my last dime if needed. The wife has several health concerns, lower back issues, and she's afraid to address surgery, which is the next option. Menopause changed everything. Sex is not the last thing on her mind, and it's not even a thought anymore. It didn't help that our marriage was constantly being tested while trying to figure out what was going on with our son, who started acting out in his late teens. We were never on the same page with respect to his best interest, as I was accused of being too tough and she accused of being too soft. Poor communication prevented us from reaching that middle ground. So to answer the question that you might be asking yourself, it's very simple. Honor, courage, and commitment. I honor my wife, if not for anything else, but being the mother of my children. She has the courage to deal with all of our crap while experiencing the pain she has. I am committed to the words we spoke before God and the magistrate, that for better or worse thing, well, I actually meant it. And as for how she feels, give it 5 minutes. It will change. My daughter, she is the love of my life, my very first child. Yes, I am hurt that she might be a lesbian, but the hurt that I feel is for what she might have to deal with in life because of that. I cannot help her because I just do not have the life experience to do so. And because I believe that she still is interested in men, that's where you may help. I want to be clear who she is or what she identifies as. If it is of no importance to me and it will not change a damn thing in our relationship, I will always have her back. Assuming that she is bisexual, would it be a choice on her part to say that she were also polyamorous? Choice being the operative word. I have always told my kids that they make their own beds to sleep in. If it is a choice, I want to be there to help her in her making it, if ever asked. I am big on conducting proper risk assessment when it comes to making choices. First and foremost, I am so honored, Hernando, that you are listening and that it's been a valuable experience for you. Above and beyond that, I am truly moved that how dedicated you are to learning and being prepared to support your daughter. That comes from a beautiful place of humility and love. You inspire me. And I want to thank you also for opening up your heart and your mind so generously and so consistently. I hope one day that my family can open up their hearts in the same way that you are and follow your good example. I'm not going to hold my breath on that one, but, you know, it's possible. So let's go through a few things from your letter, and then we're going to take a break and we'll finish up with a few other points that you made. And then I've got a few letters from listeners to share as well. So you said, I have a single daughter your age who's afraid to open up to me, and I want to be prepared educationally when she is ready to. Really, that's all you can do. When somebody comes out of the closet for being whatever, polyamorous, bisexual. And when it comes to bisexual, you kind of alluded to, okay, well, how do I understand this? So when it comes to sexuality, there's a lot of trends going on now having to do with fluidity. So what that means is that, you know, somebody might say, well, I'm just sexually fluid. And they might not even share that with people. They might not come out of the closet with that. They can even be gender fluid. So gender fluidity is where, you know, maybe you're attracted to both expressing yourself in a feminine way and a masculine way. and maybe some varying levels of that that changes over time. There's this possibility for evolution there. As if it wasn't already confusing enough as it is for you, right? And then there's also, with sexuality, there's fluidity. So somebody might be bisexual. That's kind of a traditional term, and that's the term that really represents me. I'm 100% attracted to women, and I'm 100% attracted to men. However, that has nothing to do with my polyamorousness. Which can be a choice for some people. And some people are situationally polyamorous. Like, it's just with a certain mix of people. Yeah, I'll be poly with that people, and then I just do it once and it didn't work out, or it does and it's long term and it didn't work out, and then we break up and then I'm monogamous again. There's the potential for evolution there as well. And so it can be a really intimidating thing to talk to, you know, somebody as important as our parent, our dad, our mom, especially if maybe we're still figuring it out, we're still in the questioning phase. So there's the letters that are kind of coming into popularity right now are LGBTQIA+. I did a post on this, just kind of covering what those letters represent. But one of those letters is questioning, and it's represented and has been for some time because there's this questioning phase that happens where we're not quite sure, during those phases of self-discovery, exactly who we are. And we might go through several phases of questioning throughout our life. I mean, some people don't come to the self-realization that they're gay or bisexual until much later in life. I had suspected it for some time and repressed it, and then came to the point where I was comfortable enough, you know, having those conversations with myself and being open to listening to my inner voice, where I was able to accept my bisexuality. So she might be, and that was just within the last, you know, 4 years. And now I'm doing a podcast. So it's something that she might be still going through that questioning phase. She might not be sure herself. And when people come out of the closet, it's because they're called to. They've reached their self-realization. Maybe they'll come out of the closet as questioning. Whatever point in that process, they come out of the closet, it's because they're called to. Like a priest has a calling to, speaking of the church, like a priest has a calling to go and, you know, be a servant of God. It's kind of like that same thing. It's this calling from within. It's a time that feels right. And only really we can answer that for ourselves. So your instinct to be prepared for when she's ready is spot on. And when she's ready, she'll let you know. It sounds like you're the kind of person in her life. I'm sure just as important as she is to you, you probably are from her own, you know, asymmetrical way as your daughter, loving you back. This kind of storage love that we talked about in a couple podcasts ago, which sounds bad, but it's actually not bad. It's just reflective of a love dynamic where you're coming from totally different perspectives, like a father and a daughter sort of perspective. She probably has a tremendous amount of love and affection for you too. So when the time comes, if the time comes, some people don't ever feel called to come out of the closet. They keep it to themselves. And that's her prerogative. But if she does come out to you, you'll be prepared and you'll be there for her. You're totally taking the right approach. And maybe she'll never come out of the closet. But now you have the great gift to be prepared for anyone else in your life on this education you're seeking out, this enrichment of understanding other people's perspectives. Now you're coming from a loving place of understanding and being accepting from anyone in your life who might be a little bit different. Maybe beyond sex subcultures, it's just different in a different way. There's a lot of parallels here we can draw in the human experience. So you also mentioned that you're a retired member of the armed forces, as is my father. Thank you for your service. It reflects, I think, definitely in your letter, that background. I know, at least I'm making a generalization here, but everyone that I've ever met that has a career in the armed services, there's just kind of this common theme of understanding and appreciating what honor is, what hard work is, what integrity is. And certainly I appreciate your service, so deeply, greatly, and genuinely. Those are kind of the same qualities and characteristics I see in my dad and that I recognize in your letter. You mentioned that I'm your typical dad who doesn't communicate well with people for whom he should be talking to most. Well, that reflects a lot of self-awareness. So I think you should definitely give yourself credit there. You know, we're never going to be perfect. We're never going to be perfect people. We're never going to be perfect parents. Life is a journey, right? And I think that it's a heck of a lot more poignant. It's more meaningful, the motivations that drive us. We're not always going to get things right. We will never be perfect parents. We will never be perfect people. We will always be perfectly imperfect. And how we reach that perfect imperfection is by just trying, by wanting to try for all the right reasons and trying. That does matter. And it sounds like you are. You say, I am to them contact number one, formerly known as DAD, standing by, waiting to fix whatever is broken, and ready to transfer my last dime if needed. Boy, does that ever sound like my dad. That's actually how he shows love, is by acts of service and gifts. And it sounds like you're the same way too. He'll bend over backwards for the people that he considers himself a guardian to, protective of, a lead and guide. If you need him in time of crisis, he is there for you to, as like the safety net to catch you. And I've actually had to redraw boundaries with him over time to be like, no, I stand on my own leg. I've just always been very independent. And maybe that's why one of the reasons why he and I are so close, despite, you know, only being able to reach a certain emotional depth. And I think that, you know, I understand that expression of minimalizing yourself of, oh, I'm just there to pick up what's broken. But and my dad would probably say something the same. And I can think of things that he said that have been similar expressions. But really, when you do that, when you're there for somebody like that throughout their life, they know that they can lean on you. They know that they can trust you, that they know that even when they're in the hard times in life, they can depend on you. And so there's what that really reflects to me when I see that and I read that is that she probably has a trust in you and a reliance on you, where when she is ready to come out and be and face the world and all of the difficulties, I'm sure she will. I'm sure she will. You'll probably be one of the first people she tells, because she knows that you are her rock. And that's a big deal. At least it is a big deal for me with my father. And I try to tend to be just like him, a rock for other people in my life. So I'm going to take a quick break, and then we'll cover a few more points from Fernando's letter and do a few letters from some other listeners. And we are back with Fernando's letter. So later on in his letter, he says that for better or worst thing, I actually meant it. And he shared about some, you know, how the state of things are with his marriage and his wife. You know, I certainly can relate to that pressure and that sense of obligation to stay married. I actually just wrote a blog where I talked about it a little bit. And so I'm divorced. I got divorced about 4.5 years ago. And I went refer back to my marriage as being married and miserable. Now, for me, my perspective is a little bit different, because like literally as I was walking down the aisle, well, even when I was proposed to, I didn't want to do it. I married and not in love. And I did it because I felt like I had to. We already had kids together, and my family wanted me to. It was the thing to do. I even turned to my family with my doubts, and they said, no, 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 that's just cold feet. You're supposed to get married, get married. And so I did. And so I've definitely experienced, you know, not having sex in a marriage, and actually being married, when I say married and miserable, it sounds a little cute, but really I was deeply unhappy pretty much the whole time. And when things like that, when we're in situations like that, they do affect our stress level. They affect our health. And for me, it nearly killed me. It sounds dramatic, but my health started crashing. All of my health issues I shared in the past really were compounded. And now that I'm divorced and single, now that I finally broke from that tradition, my success story is that, you know, my health has never been better. I've had a couple of bouts. But, you know, once I took on singledom and healthier life practices, eating healthier, being more active, it really made a big difference. And that all happened after I got divorced. Now, I'm not saying that divorce is the answer every time in situations like this. And I'm certainly not saying that, Fernando, you should be getting divorced. No, that's a personal choice. Obviously, I would hope you know me better than that by now. And I know what you mean by commitment. But when I hear the marriage vows, including for better or for worse, there's nowhere in the marriage vows that I hear or that I've ever heard where it says that I have to stay married if I'm no longer in love. That's not a promise that we make. And that's why it's okay to get divorced. So I'm not saying that you should, and I would never say that to you. That's a personal choice. We all have to reach that conclusion on our own. I'm just saying to you that that's not what for better or for worse means. I mean, it would mean that if life got hard, life got tough, and there's health issues, and you stay with them through that, and you still love them, then absolutely you stay. You don't leave somebody because you know your communication is struggling. You don't leave somebody and leave a marriage because there's health concerns. Absolutely not. You know, if you really love them, you'll be inspired to work through it with them. But when love is absent, then you're just staying out of a sense of obligation. And whether or not this is an answer that only you can answer, you seemed to be very honest and vulnerable about it in your letter, which I have a tremendous amount of respect for. But that's a conversation we have to ask with ourselves. And sometimes our marriages and our relationships can get to a point where things seem loveless, and they seem like it's just always going to be this way. But people can reinvent themselves. You can reinvent your relationship, and there is the potential for that to fall back in love with one another, especially if love was there to begin with, which is, in my situation, something I didn't have. But what you have to do is you have to go back to the drawing board together. And this is where people can actually really learn from relationships that survive an infidelity. I shared it in a past video that people can survive past infidelity, or really any challenges that are make and breaks in relationship, as long as you go back to the drawing board with your partner or partners and completely reinvent the relationship, being honest about the needs and expectations that you have in your relationship. There's also is the possibility past menopause and with experiencing health issues to still have a sex life. Being honest about what your capabilities are is important. But I mean, just think about, there's this episode, one of the podcasts I love listening to is The Priority Society. And they had a guest on, that's this guy that has his own podcast and he has a disability. I can't remember what his disability is, but he has a podcast called Disability After Dark. And what he really advocates for excellently, and what he really represents, is this community of people with disabilities and their sexual appetites, their sexual needs, and how to they can still have an active and healthy sex life despite the challenges they face in light of their disability. So there's other people that have been through these things too. And if it does interest you to reinvent your love life with your wife, I just want to communicate to you today that it's totally possible. And that there are things that you don't have to have the same kind of, you know, follow the same kind of line that I felt like I had to, of this is how marriage works. And oh, when it doesn't work, you just leave it. And, you know, no, you're a fixer, right? So if it interests you to work on these things with her, I just want to communicate that that is possible. There's people that have paved that path before you. And I would really encourage you, if it's something that interests you, in looking into it and maybe giving it a try if you feel called to. That all is not lost there necessarily. It might be, being honest, but the other people before you in similar situations have prevailed, and we're happy that they gave it a try. So you also mentioned in your letter toward the end, assuming she is bisexual, would it be a choice on her part to if she were to say that she was polyamorous? So not everyone who is bisexual or gay, certainly in the bisexual community, I see what you might be kind of referring to, like this duality of being attracted to both genders. And sometimes there's pansexuality, which is where you're attracted to anyone in whatever gender presentation, transgender. So pansexuals are just attracted to people, other people. And however their, you know, whatever their gender association or identity, and however that presents, gender fluid doesn't matter to a pansexual. They're just attracted to people. So there's a duality there. There's a diversity there in their attractiveness spectrum, who they could be attracted to. So it seems like it would make sense. Well, then wouldn't you want plural partners too, since you have this diversity and attraction? Not necessarily. There are some people that do have this diversity and sexual attraction that do not also want to be monogamous or cannot be anything other than monogamous. They don't want to be polyamorous. They don't want to have ethical non-monogamy. They want to have a monogamous relationship, but they just happen to also be bisexual, pansexual, sexually fluid. And so, like, there's a senator here in Arizona, Kristen Sinema, whose politics I could say things about, but it's not really doesn't really have a place here. But she's an example. Someone who's known, who is bisexual, and she's married, and she has kids, she's married, she ended up marrying a man, and she's still bisexual, but she's just monogamous, so she's a one person at a time kind of person. So your daughter could make the choice, and polyamorousness for me is not a choice, it's who I am, it's who I have to be. In order to have relationships, I have to be able to be polyamorous, and I have to be able to be in the lifestyle too, to have that swinging component too. It's just, that's how I was built. And I did all this on my own, which is not that common. It's not uncommon, but it's not that common. So I decided on my own, this is who I was and discovered rather. And so for me, it really wasn't a choice. I guess we all have choice. We all have the choice to be ourselves or not. But for me, it's just how I was built. However, in polyamory, some people, it is a choice. It's a preference. And they would describe it as such. So that's valid too. So she does have that choice if she's so inclined. That's the beauty of choice, is that we, especially with our human sexualities, we have the choice to be who we want. But we also have this component that we are who we are. So when she does open up, if she does open up about who she is to you, then hopefully she'll share that with you. And it sounds like, and I'm assuming here, and I'm sure I'm right on, that you'll be open to what it is. And in terms of being there for her, which you so sound like you abundantly are, I just be there for her as a person to lean on as she's going through the stresses in life, right? She needs to make the decisions. I completely relate. The OCD side of me completely relates to your conducting a proper risk assessment. I do the same thing with like literally everything in my life. Pros and cons lists are one of my favorite. I get out the Excel spreadsheets. I add percentages to things. I just really get all geeky about it, for sure. So I relate to that for sure. But she is her risk assessment manager, just like you are your risk assessment manager. So if she taps into your skills, then dive in to that with her. But if she doesn't, you're just a support system, right? And that's not I'm not trying to minimize you and like you're just a support. No, that's a big deal to be a support system. But one of the greatest gifts we can give our children is to teach them how to guide themselves in their lives, right? I'm sure she had an excellent example in you and continues to have one. But when it comes to knowing and assessing risk, she probably is fully aware. And those risks that, you know, we have to let our kids fall. I remember the climbing phase, and it's one of the best pieces of parenting advice I ever got, is your kid will go through a climbing phase and you have to let them fall so that they learn what it feels like to fall, and that will end the climbing phase. And it was really hard to not be a helicopter parent, right? It's just, oh God, like you don't want them to get hurt, right? But the world will hurt them, especially when it comes to being an unpopular type of person to be. But having the network of people in our lives to be there with us through it. Wow, that's a big deal. Thank you so much, Fernando. I truly appreciate you reaching out. Please do reach out to me after you listen and let me know what your takeaways were, what your thoughts were. If you have any more questions, I am here for you. So let me share real quick a couple of letters with you guys and we'll wrap up today. So this one is from Riley. He says, thank you, Pollyanna. I'm so glad I found your podcast while listening to the Priory Society podcast. I always get that one wrong. I mean, I make it a priority to listen to them, but that's not what they're called. They're called the Priory Society podcast. Sorry, guys. Eros and Isis. That's the word fumbler in me. Sorry. Riley, back to your letter. I've been listening to all your podcast. Episode 9 was amazing in so many ways. Oh, thank you. I'll have to look back and see what episode 9 was. You had my brain chemistry doing overtime. I love that. Right out of the gate, you mentioned Paso Robles. Yep, that's one of my ads. Let's see here. I love going wine tasting Paso Robles. That is totally not bullshit. That's spot on. So much fun. So Riley says, back in 1969, my first serious girlfriend was from Paso Robles. My mind was flooded with beautiful memories of her. Aww. And all those intense emotions that were never repeated, but never to be forgotten. You mentioned Fiddler on the Roof. Yes, I did. I'm a musical theater nerd. I actually played Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz in high school. That was one of my favorite roles I did. So lots of musical theater references in your future, listeners. I hope you were prepared. So Riley says, that's one of my all-time favorite movies. Such a great story. Such a great story. Everyone should watch it. Really, really great themes in there. Riley says, then there was the article on Psychology Today where you mentioned the 7 types of love. Yep, that was from last week. What the world needs is love, sweet love, agape. Yes, sir, it sure does. I have shared that article on Twitter and Facebook and with my grandchildren. Oh, that's awesome. I love that. That's what those articles are there for. Share and share alike. You talked about coming from a strict fundamentalist religious background. Been there, done that. Grew up in Alabama in the 50s and 60s. We sang red, yellow, black, and white. They are precious in his sight. Yep, I know that. Jesus loves all the children in the world. That was one of my favorite ones as a kid. And I also loved, there's this one called Father Abraham Had Many Sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. It's one of my favorite ones. I just used to sing that around the house all day long. I know those Bible hymns. But from where I was standing, it sure looked like Jesus loved the white ones a lot more. Too true in the 1950s and 60s in Alabama. Too true, Riley. I'm actually going to be doing some episodes. I have a significant population of listeners that have asked and requested that I do an episode of sex exploration on people of color in sex subcultures. And I am so inspired by that. And I'm so in agreement with that. So that really reminds me of that, Riley. Thank you for reminding me. And so maybe after next week, I'll finally tackle that. It's really, really important that we talk about racial issues. They definitely are still present and certainly present in sex subcultures. So Riley finishes up and he says, "Then you mentioned an older sibling that was an asshole." Yep. "And constantly treated you like shit, and how hard it was to get that negative programming out of your head. I'm almost 68 years old, and the physical and emotional abuse leaves deep scars. Now that my parents have both passed away, I've blocked my brother on social media and my phone. Fuck him, and not in a good way." I love you, Riley. You're awesome. Just wanted to say that your advocacy is appreciated. You are making a positive difference. Peace and love, Riley. I am so, so appreciative of that, you reaching out. And it sounds like we've got a lot of perspectives in common there, Riley. So last one is very exciting to me to share with you. This is not an uncommon one that I get. And it really represents kind of some similar tellings that I am so, so lucky to get from the listenership. "Pollyanna, you changed my life forever. I was trapped behind the thought process and culture and lies that are impressed upon so many of us. I could have stumbled upon any podcast in my desperate search to find myself, to figure me out. But I found yours. You opened my eyes, like being trapped in a cave with no light, wandering for 37 years, desperate for light. And you showed me the way. You are a missionary spreading the truth of humanity, setting people like myself free. I could write pages, but I won't. But just know myself, my wife, and our future is forever changed for the better because you are brave enough to have a voice. I wanted to say thank you." Oh my God. I know what that feeling is. Actually, I don't know if I should. Let me know if it would be too much. I write poetry from time to time. Especially when I was an angsty teen, I wrote a lot of poetry. that shit was dark. But sometimes it's light. Yeah, that's one of my artistic expressions. I like to paint too. And one of my most recent poems I wrote about a year ago. I usually write when I'm like going through something and I'm inspired to. And it was called a Bird in a Cage. And it really talks about that same feeling of feeling trapped and feeling like you have no other choice. So let me know. If that's not too mushy, I'll read it to you next week. But let me know if that's like Pollyanna, you're being a little bit too sappy. You always get too sappy. We can't take this. Or if you're open to hearing it, because I'm open to sharing it, but I don't want to be like all I'm a crier. I get really fucking emotional all the time. Like I'm like a Hallmark commercial crier. So if that's a little too mushy, then I won't. I will spare you that. But if you are interested in hearing that poem, let me know. And I will share it next week with you gladly. So that you're aware, I do the after chat here. This is an amazing experience where I get to share your questions and your stories, which so many people relate to. I mean, I cannot tell you how many people reach out to me after these shows and say, "Oh my gosh, I heard this letter and Fernando and I have the same experience. I'm going through this." I mean, whenever you share something like that openly, there's so many other people that are going through it too or have gone through it. So you're speaking not just to me and I'm not just speaking to you. It really includes the whole listenership in a big and in a meaningful way. But if you'd like to do something more one-on-one, I do offer a limited number of sessions for personal coaching services. I can do that remotely, which has kind of been the primary connection that I've been getting. But I can also do them here in Arizona or as I travel from time to time, we can set them up if I come your way. Each person can do up to 3 sessions per month. But of course, you're always welcome to ask me questions to be answered here in the after chat. And like I said before, that's great for everyone to benefit from. Because the odds are that others share your same perspective and experiences, or will. whatever your comfort level and interest, either way is a great way to figure out just whatever your comfort level and interest will guide what the best route. I'm available to you either way. And I'm keeping it pretty organized like this, like it's either or, simply because out of consideration for time management. I am so excited that now I'm able to commit to everything Pollyanna full time. Which means so many exciting things, like I'm collaborating, working on bigger projects more than ever. So that takes up a lot of time. So when it comes to our collaboration, which will never change, we will always be collaborative. That's how it started. That's how it's going to continue. I just need to keep it in these two routes just so that it makes sense, so that I'm not like running around with a chicken, like a chicken with her head cut off. I am so looking forward to spending time with you all again on Tuesday's episode of Sexploration. Be sure and check out social media for an announcement this weekend on the theme.
Did you like today's episode? Rate, review, and subscribe. Make sure you check out my website left in the show details, withpollyanna.com, for everything Pollyanna all the time. Want to support what I'm doing and become part of the inner circle? Visit patreon.com/withpollyanna. And become a patron. As always, be good to yourself and be good to others. Laters.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.